Yo, what's cracking? This your homeboy Ice Cube, and you tuned in to Everything Snowboarding and More podcast. You know what it is, baby.
Hey, everybody, this is Mike with the Mountain Weekly News. Welcome back to episode number 43 of the Everything Snowboarding and More podcast. This week's podcast is being brought to you by Snow King Mountain here in Jackson, Wyoming. Snow King is often overlooked. This year, they've got a new gondola going up to the top, some new terrain off the backside, and with a La Nina winter, definitely a place you want to check out if you come to Jackson. You probably know about Jackson. If you're in the know, you probably know about Grand Targhee, but Snow King Mountain Resort, sponsor of this week's podcast. This week's special guest is Ryland Bell. Ryland Bell is a professional snowboarder. He's been a film star. You've probably seen him in some of Jeremy Jones movies. Competed on the North Face Masters, and we're going to talk to Ryland to see what he's been up to these days. Ryland, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thanks for having me. Yeah, good to catch up and chat.
Yeah, for sure. It's been a while. How's your La Nina winter kicking off so far this year?
The winter up here in Southeast Alaska is kicking off in full bore. It's on. We've got 3 or 4 feet in my yard already, and it's before Thanksgiving, and been doing some snow machining lately, just trying to get our trails in so we can do more boarding and getting some really good snowboarding in already. So it's looking good.
Wow. 3 or 4 feet. You're already out on your sleds, Southeast Alaska. It's interesting here in the lower 48s in the West, about 1/3 of the ski resorts have delayed openings. A few of them kind of have, you know, maybe one run. I think Jackson's opening with maybe one lift, two lifts. But it is La Nina, and I keep telling everybody, I'm like, just wait. I was like, look what's happening in Alaska. Mount Baker's starting to get the storms. How does La Nina typically stack up in your neck of the woods?
Well, Southeast Alaska is a rainforest, so it's got an endless supply of moisture. And on La Nina years, it's colder. And so even if it ends up being drier than normal, but cold, you're pretty stoked.
Sick. And tell us about your background. Where'd you grow up, and where did you start your snowboard career?
I grew up in Fairbanks, Alaska, up in the interior, and that's where I first started snowboarding. Up there, it's like 40 below a lot, and you get maybe 3 feet of snow for the entire winter. It's super dark. It's not the greatest place to snowboard, but I think it helped me to... When I am pretty much everywhere or anywhere, I'm like, well, hey, you know, it could be 20 below and a foot of snow. So it's usually better than that.
So that definitely kind of toughened you up. And then how about like Southeast Alaska? How does that kind of riding for people that haven't been up that way compared to, you know, maybe the terrain that we see down here in the States?
The main thing with Alaska is just the tree lines at 2,500 feet in Southeast and even lower up north. So you're riding big open panels and faces, and it makes it a whole different game. You don't have as many landmarks, and you got to just learn new ways to figure out your lines. But yeah, as far as like compared to down south, a lot, I'd say like the biggest difference is no trees.
For sure. And it seems like, you know, when you were competing, I watched you on the North Face Masters Tour, and you really seem natural out in that terrain. Are you competing these days, or kind of what's on your program? Are you doing more film projects, free riding? What's up for the season?
Yeah, I'm not really competing anymore. I mostly just shred for myself and then do some filming and just, you know, put out a season edit and do social media and that sort of thing. So yeah, definitely more low key, but just getting lots of really good riding for myself.
Wow, that's awesome. And I know, you know, the industry was really pushing you hard, you know, Patagonia and Jones and all the other brands. Are you still kind of working with some of the brands now that you're just able to do more free riding and filming? Or is it kind of more of a contest type thing that you have to have?
Oh, no. Yeah, no, I still, all my sponsors seem pretty stoked. I'm really happy with them and loving all the support and gear. So I feel super lucky. I mean, I've been doing this on a professional level for 10 years now, and I feel like that's a really long career in snowboarding. So I'll I don't know, keep going as long as I can. It's pretty fun gig.
Yeah, no, you're stoked. It's cool to watch kind of your progression. It's almost like, you know, Craig Kelly and people like that that just kind of said, okay, well, I'm going to do what the industry said and then kind of go my own direction and still get some of the support. But obviously going out and riding powder and free riding, that's what we all do it for. What about in the summertime? You work as a commercial fisherman, correct?
Yeah, I have my own commercial fishing boat. It's a 38-foot fiberglass troller. So I go out, it's like about 100-day season, and it's all hook and line. You catch every fish individually. It's highest quality salmon on the market, and it's really fun too. It's just like this total puzzle. You got to figure out where the fish are and what gear they want to bite, and determined by the weather and where am I going to anchor tonight and the whole thing. But it's really fun. And the last 3 years I've just been doing it by myself mostly. And I'll have my good buddy Morgan come and work for me for King Salmon, which is a couple weeks of the year. And other than that, just sort of cruising around out there by myself and trying to catch fish.
And where can people buy the salmon?
You can buy it online. There's Yacobi Fisheries is a great spot. They got the best salmon you could ever ask for.
Can you spell that? I have no idea what you just said.
Okay, that's a Y-A-K-O-B-I, YacobiFisheries.com.
And Morgan, is that Morgan Hebert, another professional snowboarder, Fairbanks kid as well, right?
Yeah, totally. We grew up together and came up together snowboarding, and he spends most of his winter down in Washington and then comes up here for the spring. So we get to slay lines and then slay fish.
Wow, that's rad to be able to do that with somebody that, you know, you grew up with and a close friend. Yeah, that's wow, sick. Let's see what else. As far as film projects right now, what are you involved with or kind of what's been coming out lately for you?
Like I said, I mean, just sort of with the pandemic, whatever, I just retreated to Alaska. So I've been here 2 years now, and I'm hesitant to like plan any big trips or have a bunch of people show up. So I've been keeping to myself and just with my local crew, but we've been shooting out here on the good days and mostly drone stuff. But I mean, I have just a library of footage of just radical stuff from the last couple of years, and I'm having Jones, in-house guy Greg over there, he's gonna help put together an edit. He did my edit last year, and I liked how that turned out. So yeah, gonna have that coming out, and then various social media things and whatnot. Unfortunately, didn't get to do too many photos last year just from hiding out, so yeah, we'll see this year, though. Looking forward to, you know, letting the season evolve.
How's COVID up in Alaska? Were you guys locked down? Are people kind of scared? You know, mask mandates, vaccine mandates. I mean, here it kind of changes, you know, city to city, state to state. It is, you just never know.
Yeah, Alaska is pretty mellow. I mean, I can't really say because I live for 6 months on my boat by myself, and then I come to Haines and live out 25 miles outside of town in the middle of the woods in a cabin by myself. So I'm not really exposed to it that much. But, you know, right in the beginning, there was definitely like more like lockdowns and don't go outside, whatever, that kind of thing. But now it's like, yeah, you wear your mask going out to the grocery store if you want. I do, but yeah, it's not like nothing super serious right now as far as lockdowns.
Are you spending a lot of time out splitboarding these days, or just sled access or heli? What's kind of been your go-to?
Lots of sled access and sled access to splitboarding. There's really long approaches here, so you got to do 5, 10, 15 miles in the flats before you're even, or, you know, travel up the glacier ways or whatever till you're at the lines. So it's a lot of combo stuff. You know, you don't want to spend 2 days splitting in the flats to get somewhere. So, but this season so far, mostly split boarding. First, we had high elevation snow, so it was sort of like hike through the woods and then get on snow and and it was pretty good up high. Now we've got just a ton of snow. It's coming 1 foot at a time every 2 days, it seems like. And it's like a battle to make it anywhere on the sleds or the split board. So we're just working with what we got right now. And at some point, if it stops snowing, hopefully we'll be able to get some trails in up higher and start getting at some of the good stuff.
Gosh, I remember, it feels like it's probably a decade ago now. I'm kind of aging myself, but we were in Haines and we were getting ready to get dropped off on top of Indy 5000. And I don't believe anybody had skied it for the season. And I remember hearing on the radio, there was a group of free skiers that was climbing up the mountain. I don't know if you guys were splitboarding or just climbing. You were part of that group, weren't you?
Yeah, totally. We were hiking. We had dropped a sled at the bottom and then sledded around. And then it's like a hour long knife edge ridge hike up to the top of the zone. And yeah, you guys came and like landed the heli. I was a little behind my buddies, but they were like, hey, they're trying to yell at the guide, like, hey, and he's like, oh, don't worry, we're going to get out of your way. And then we had to wait like 45 minutes for you guys to clear the slope. But, you know, in the end, Indy 5000 is a 5,000 vert run that's about a half mile wide. So I didn't have to cross a track. I just had to wait. So it wasn't the end of the world.
Awesome. Yeah, that was a fun run. I remember we got to the top and our guide said to the first guy, okay, just go down, you know, a couple hundred yards and peel off to that rock band. And the kid I was with I don't know what happened. He was like, I'm sending this whole thing and rode it all the way to the bottom. And I mean, hell, going 5,000 feet, you know, if you're cruising big powder turns, it took him a minute to get down. And then, like you said, it was a huge apron. Do you spend much time heli skiing up in Haines or kind of where, if somebody wanted to go heli ski, what are some places that you'd recommend they could go check out?
If you want to go heli ski, really Valdez is probably the best bet because there's just way more ops. They have a huge tenure, just way more space and options available. And like the operating, like getting there and there's places to stay and access, and it's definitely just cheaper. Haines is where I'm at and it has rad heli. I've been doing a session every year at least just to get out there and get into some easier access stuff. But in the end, it's more expensive to get here. It's more expensive to live here. Like I said, the access requires these 5, 10, 15 mile, you know, in to get to your lines versus Valdez. You can literally do it off the highway and score the lines of your life. So it's, you know, I love Haines. It's great for me. I'm established here, so I can get at it. But honestly, for most people, Valdez is definitely like your best bet.
For sure. And you've obviously had some time traveling on snow. What are some other places around the globe that, you know, people might want to check out?
Oh man, I got to give up my secret stashes. No. Well, everybody knows Japan, man. That's the spot I want to get back to. I just daydream about it all the time. I love it over there. So, you know, I really like Honshu, the main island. It's the Japanese Alps there on the west coast are just incredible. Massive vertical, really steep, great snow. Although I've heard Hokkaido, you know, has way more snow and it's colder, but maybe not quite as stacked as far as when you see the Japanese Alps, it's like nothing you've ever seen. It's incredible.
You're now the third guest in a row that I've asked kind of a similar question to, and they're just Japan always comes up. You know, I've done some traveling and, you know, I hear how good it is and I forget about it. And now I'm like, okay, one of these years I just have to go and check it out. And not just for the riding, but kind of like you said, you know, the culture and just the whole shebang. You know, you seem like a pretty mellow dude overall. Do you meditate? You know, are you into Buddhism? How do you kind of keep it mellow versus, you know, some of these other guys that seem a lot more, you know, ADD?
No, I don't do a ton of meditation. I just, I feel like I have sort of a divide there where I can be super mellow, but then in the moments, I definitely am very intense and intent. You know, if we're shredding or trying to do these objectives and goals, it's not quite so mellow. I was going to say, too, everybody loves Japan, but if you think Japan is dope, Russia blows it out of the water. That is the place that I want to go back to so bad.
I heard the heli skiing there is in old, like, military style helicopters. Did you see that or did you take part in that?
No, I didn't heli when I was over there. I just did the resorts and side country, which is the resorts are 5,000 to 6,000 vertical. The one has like 15 chutes that go off the top that are 55 plus degrees, and the walls of them are spines. And then that goes for about 3,000 vert, and then you get into like the craziest pillow gladed trees and every other type of terrain till you're at the bottom. So yeah, Russia, like the things that I liked about Japan, it had twice as steep a terrain, super gnar. It's getting the lake effect style snow like Japan. The locals don't go out unless it snows 3 feet, you know, it's just common for them. So it's definitely a badass place. My buddy was dating a Russian girl and he went over there. He got there right at Christmas and he left at the end of January. And he said when he got there, it was dirt. And by the end, it snowed 40 feet. And he said he just went up and rode by himself in like the most wicked blizzards in this insane terrain, like every day. Like nobody knows how to ski over there. They're all on the groomers.
Wow. And do they have kind of destination resorts like here in the United States?
Yeah, it's all built for the Olympics is where I went to Sochi area, Krasnaya Poliana, and they got Rosa Hooter and Gorky Gorod and Gazprom. That's like the three resorts. But then they built these like massive villages, 7-story buildings that run for a mile. It's sort of like a Whistler village, but on steroids. So it's the whole valley is just filled up with huge hotels and shopping and different stuff. And then the resorts actually start about 1,000 vert up from there. You take gondolas up and then there's secondary villages up there too. So it's very overbuilt.
How about for somebody coming from the state? Is there, I mean, obviously a language barrier. Are they starting to see more Western people or do you kind of have to hire a translator? How do you handle that? Or did you have your friend's girlfriend?
When I went, we just had the Jones rider, Sasha. He's a super rad guy and total ripper over there. So he was our point man. But no, it's very difficult to operate over there. Nobody speaks English at all. The language, you know, it's a different alphabet or whatever, so you can't read anything. You're completely blind. People, it's sort of the most American place I've ever been where people don't care to learn another language. They're sort of pushy. Everyone's just like your elbow in to get on the lift. It was intense. It was like, oh, okay, like here we go. And I went there twice and only one time did we run into anybody like another American. So there did seem to be some Europeans showing up, but mostly it's like pretty crowded and it's all Russian tourists.
Huh.
And what happened when people found out you guys were from the States? Were you welcomed? Was it like, holy cow, we don't see people like you? Or was there any?
Pretty much. I mean, I never had anything too bad, but one guy that we were with had a guy like spit on the ground next to him and get sort of intense with him. But we had other people who were like, wow, that's really cool. Like, right on that you're actually coming over here because, you know, the Russia-America thing has been going on forever. And who knows what their, you know, country's telling them about us, blah, blah, blah. But the people were nice to me. I had a great time.
Wow. I had a cab driver here a few years ago, and he was from Kazakhstan. And he was kind of half Asian, half Russian or Eastern European. And he said, man, if you like the Tetons, he's like, you go to Kazakhstan, it's like the Tetons for like hundreds of miles. And I was like, I bet there's a lot of terrain, especially that Eastern Europe stuff that's probably just not really on the main tourist map. And yeah, it seems like everything I've looked up, there's plenty of snow out there. I appreciate the tips on that. I guess last but not least, what other, if you're not fishing and you're not out splitboarding, how else do you like to enjoy the outdoors?
I like to go surfing. We do some surfing out where we fish, and we're starting to get some spots dialed in pretty good. And that's always fun. And then I like to go somewhere warm and surf too, if I can. And then I don't know, just camping and hanging out outside in general. I feel like I spend like 90% of my life outside. So whether it's around here the last month or so, you know, it's chopping wood and dialing in the property because, you know, knock on wood, there's going to be 10 feet of snow on the ground soon. And you got to just be ready. Your woodshed better be full, and you better have your sled gas and your shoveling arms ready.
Yeah, definitely good to be prepared. And again, I just keep laughing. People are just so bummed and bitter here. And I'm just like, talk to me in a month or two when, you know, everything's shut down and you can't go anywhere. And, you know, the snowbanks are higher than the stop signs. It's like, just, you'll be fine.
Totally.
Okay, one more question. Surfing in Alaska, what's the water temperature like? Kind of what's a range that you're surfing in?
So I only do it in the summer, but a couple spots we go to have glacial runout. And so the coldest we've seen is like 42, but then average in the summer, I'd put it from like 52 to 56.
Not nearly as bad
it's
as
not
I was thinking.
Terrible. Okay. Yeah, no, I mean, I'm wearing gloves and booties and a hood, but getting away with like a 4 mil.
Yeah. Shortboard, longboard, fish. What do you like to ride?
I have like a 7 foot sort of fun board thing that I'm riding up there mostly. The waves aren't like totally epic all the time, so it's nice to have something where you can get on them if they're still a little mushy.
Well, that's rad. I'm stoked that you surf. I didn't know that that we had that in common. Probably 5 years ago, I was out in California visiting my folks, and Forrest Berkey came through, and we went and surfed Newport a couple days, and I watched him pull into some barrels, and I was like, holy shit, like it was so cool just to see people that, you know, even Travis Rice, I've heard that he's getting pretty strong at surfing. And so there's definitely that crossover. And yeah, just being outdoors, it's such a good lifestyle that we get to live. Well, I really appreciate you jumping on the call with us, Ryland. Again, will you tell people where they can find some of that fish that you're making or that you're catching?
Yeah, yacobifisheries.com.
Sweet. And then do you have a website or Instagram or anything that people can kind of follow along with you to stay in touch, see what's up?
Yeah, my Instagram's just my name, Ryland Bell.
Okay. Sweet. Yeah. Well, keep posting all that footage. Everybody that's been bummed, I've been sending them that link of you just ripping powder turns, and yeah, we'll get ours. So definitely stay safe up there, bud.
Okay, thanks. Good to talk to you. Yeah. Have a good one.
Thanks, Ryland. You too. Well, thanks for tuning in to episode number 43 of the Everything Snowboarding and More podcast. Once again, this week's episode is being brought to you by Snow King Mountain here in Jackson, Wyoming. Little overlooked gem, new gondola going to the top this year, new terrain off the backside. It's probably going to be pretty darn sweet this year. So thanks again to Snow King Mountain for the support.